Hopefully, as we read the Psalms, you will begin to understand a bit more of how we can and we should apply the lessons from the scriptures into a real life situation. Well, that's it's raining quite a bit out there, so it's going to be a little bit wet and maybe somewhat a bit late. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for every opportunity to read your word and then to be refreshed, be challenged afresh, to apply our faith in real life. We pray that you will grant to us that grace and that wisdom to read with understanding, with wisdom, and then to apply. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, just firstly to thank you for those of you who understand, sometimes this can be a very, very tough time. This week we had two funerals, and both funerals were involving babies or little ones. And it's always, always a big challenge. Some of these things here, we don't want to put into eye care simply because of the fact that, there are certain things that we don't want to sort of emphasize, to highlight, and death of little ones, they're not things that you just want to highlight, but just there with understanding. If you want to be kept informed on this matter here, we could make plans to, to inform you, to let you know through SSS4. I think that would be probably a better way. But certain things we just don't want to announce. The people, of course, you may not know. It's just a community of believers that's going to be there. And so on Monday night, we had a memorial. And then Tuesday, we had the funeral of a 4.5-year-old little girl. Now, she had all kinds of problems. But there's a sense of just tremendous amount of reminders to us that this is one life, that's all we have, and that's it. And you don't know how long that life will last. You don't know how it works. But it's important that we keep on thinking about how we can literally minister to people who are in need, who are in sorrow, who are in grief, who are in pain. It's not everybody who can say, look, I can understand this. It sometimes is quite painful in more ways than one. But it's just there, good to be there for the family involved. I think that's important. Kong Yang suffered a bereavement with the death of Chloe. And he became a very special person in writing a poem to the couple. And that brought a tremendous amount of encouragement and trust and faith in the Lord in ways that sometimes we cannot understand because we've not suffered such things. So all the things that we go through can be very, very challenging indeed. And then, of course, these are things that we want to ponder over. And death at any time is difficult. And the challenge is, how do we draw encouragement? How do we draw strength? How do we have hope? How do we press on with life? And that is going to be important. And so we talk about the Lord today in Psalm 48. And this is what the Lord must be for all of us. And we have a whole variety of things we can relate to. And those things are not easy things to, it's not true that everybody relates in the same way. And so, when the idea, for example, Psalm 48, we're talking about the greatness of the Lord. For some, this greatness of the Lord is not well comprehended, or we can relate easily to this. Right? So it depends very much upon how each one of us would relate. The greatness of the Lord, we praise Him, and that is not easy. Right? So this was an issue that I had to work with when we had a second funeral of this time was the third child of a couple in our church. And that little girl that was to be born was, you know, died in the womb, and it became a very painful time. And so sometimes we struggle with, how come God allows this? How come God does these things here? But wait a minute. We go back to, great is the Lord. And they looked at the baby that was going to be born, and this baby is severely going to be born with neurological problems, going to be born with all kinds of major organ weaknesses, and the chances are the baby won't live. And so sometimes we think of the greatness of the Lord, and we ask ourselves, how does that work? And this was applied. Can you trust the Lord in His greatness? Can you trust the Lord in taking away little baby? And it took a while, but then they began to realize that it was the best and the wisest thing to trust the greatness of the Lord. And then came a release of all kinds of, you know, guilt, all kinds of sorrow, all kinds of pain, all kinds of doubts. See, this is how the greatness of God can be applied. And we need to know how to apply that, right? And then, of course, to us, when we talk about a great king, we don't have this kind of understanding like in Britain, where the passing of the queen and the whole country is in mourning, and so on and so forth. We don't have that. So we don't understand this. We are more a republic, and so we don't understand how that works. But to those who do, the idea of the Lord being king become very real and precious, right? And this is really more Middle Eastern and also British than anything else. Supposing a king dies in a Middle Eastern country, the whole country can say, my father died. This was the kind of feeling they actually have towards their rulers. To us, it's not. It's some of political kind of stuff, you know, and then the person is gone. And that's all there is to it. Kind of unfortunate, but this is something that Israel can relate to, God as king. For us, even as Christians, the Lord Jesus Christ as king is not very real to many people. It's just a title kind of a thing here, nothing more than that. But if we can explore this, it's actually a very, very deep study to relate to the Lord as king. And then, of course, God is refuge. Right? Now, this becomes very, very special post-funeral that comes. So sometimes pre-funeral, you can have a funeral, maybe some sorrow, maybe some tears, but it's post-funeral, and that can last quite a long while. And this is where God as refuge must become even more real. I think this is something that we want to look at. And this is where we point people to the Lord. See, you can have so much and no more. You can go so far and no more. The Lord has to be refuge. I think that is important for us. And sometimes we feel we're so strong, we don't really need to think about God as refuge. But you'd be surprised how much of a refuge God can be. God must be for all of us. And it's only when we really come across a very, very tough situation that becomes a really big, big challenge. And God as a refuge. And then there's God's loving kindness. And that's God's righteousness. And then last part of it, God as guide even to death. I think this is something that I perhaps know a little bit more about, death. My sister passed away this year, you know, and I was there with her every single day almost, you know, the last couple of months in her life. And now I have one more sister left, and I had to look into, I have what is known as the lasting power of attorney, the LPA thing. So I, you know, the hospital says, we need to activate this. You have to make decisions for her. Then we have to activate the financial part of it. So here comes all, looking after all the things here. because a guide to death. So a lot of us, we don't know what to do when we grow older. My sister doesn't know where her funds are. And I said, stop. Let's go to the banks and we make sure that all these things are done properly. And if nobody can just simply take money from you from here onwards. See, this is what we mean by a guide. My sister is very kind, perhaps too kind. And she does not know how to exercise control in wisdom towards evening years of her life. And they stop. Right? Because you're going to lose everything you have. And I'm not going to let this happen to you. Right? So this is important for us to understand. So the Lord is there, a guide, even to death. We see right now, we think that we're all right, you know, 60-something. But once you go into your 70s, watch. We don't make good decisions. We don't make the best of decisions. Sometimes we are pretty slow in our decisions. Sometimes we make wrong decisions. This is where God has to become our guide. But God, when He guides us, He uses human means to guide us too. Right? So I have to take over this part of it and say, okay, let's work this out. So you work with the lawyers in mind, work with all these details. Okay, now let's settle all these things here. Right? So nobody is going to ask you for anything without asking me now. This is no other way. This is where we have to be that guide. Right? Now, my sister is very, very kind and very big-hearted, you know. But look, funds are funds. They're all pretty limited. And we just need to be very wise about all these things. So this is where God is. If only we can understand this is what God is. See, a lot of us, we are so clear, so certain, with all our faculties, we don't need anything. We don't need the Lord. Until you see people in sickness, until you see people in distress, until you see people going and suffering through dementia. You can talk to the person 10 minutes ago and the person has forgotten what you have said. What are you going to do? And we need to get all of these things done. And the best thing to do is to exercise wisdom. Right? Now, this is something that we sometimes don't understand, but it is absolutely necessary, even to death. It's difficult. So when I worked when I was in Perth, I heard from news from Anthony that a daughter suffered a heart failure straight away. I wrote to him, okay, sorry, but I must tell you, prepare for death. And that was the last thing that was in my mind. Oh, you know, we are going to be able to do that. No, death. See, we just don't like to think of death. We like to think, oh, an operation will help, surgery will help, and so on and so forth. What if they don't? What if it's not true? What if death is our eventuality? And most of us are not ready for such. So God has to be refuge for us now. If you want to find God as refuge later, when it is not now, you won't find it. You can't relate. Right? So we have to get used to all the whole process to go through with my sister. Let's go through all the things we need to go through bit by bit, step by step, until you know, we're there to guide to the very end. So prepare. Okay, your baby may die or child may die. Okay, come back. 3 days later, he wrote, Pastor Alana, my daughter has died. That's on Friday. I said, I can't come back now. Can you wait? Okay, so wait Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Wait, I come back on Sunday. I cannot stop ministry and rush back. So I have to finish what I need to finish and come back. Right? And then, okay, let's go through it. Straight away, you know, literally hit the road running. That's the only way. And so we got a whole week, Monday to Friday, two funerals. Details, looking into every single thing. We need to know that God is there to bring a word of comfort to the grandfather, to the parents, to the children, to relatives, to others. That's ministry, right? And then again, to other people, all kinds of things that needs to be done. We have to get to know, to do them. Well, this is where God becomes very, very real. And the sons of Korah were very good at it because they were servants of God full time. Sometimes, you know, you can be a very good organizer in business and all that. When it comes to death, you don't know what to do next. This is where we come in and talk about the Lord. When all the physical things are looked into, the heart feels a hollowness, an emptiness. And, you know, at night you cannot sleep because, and you literally cry yourself to sleep. We're talking adults. We're talking about the parents. See, we all don't realize it could happen. What happens if our children are taken away just like that? And most people are not prepared for this. It's something that we don't want to take for granted. Okay, you know, this is, how do you cope with these things? Yeah. One of the things that you want to think about is really, really important. Sometimes when we look at all those things here, I mean, you know, there are so many things to look into, right? And sometimes you can get so caught up with these things, you lose perspective. Right? So this coming week, we are going to have two of our Indian pastors coming to town. Again, part of the problem this time around is they have a, you know, State Bank of India account. As long as they are students, they can have accounts. But the moment they go back, the accounts will have to be closed, and we're going to find a way how can we send funds over all over again. Come right to the front. Yeah. And I think this is important. So sometimes when there are so many things to be done, we almost have to ask ourselves, how do we cope? And I want to encourage you. This is a very, very special way of application. Okay? Now, I don't know what it is that is your favorite thing to do. Right? But for the sons of Korah, the favorite thing to do when distresses, problems, difficulties come, their minds switch, literally have a mind switch. They're going to dwell on Zion. Now, I don't know whether you have such a mind switch. For many people, the mind switch is watch TV until the mind goes numb. My suggestion, don't do that. It's not going to be very helpful. Right? I mean, well, I hope you understand this. That is a very, very special way of literally looking at a mind switch. And this is very important. Right? So here are the sons of Korah. They take time to dwell, let their mind settle on Zion as the city of God. Now, this is also in Psalm 68, which we looked at quite extensively in the last 2 months. But it's important for us, and we ask ourselves, okay, how do we do this? How do we cope with these things here? Right? Now, it's very important because sometimes this is where a lot of people don't realize, just like a rubber band, you can stretch it quite a bit. One of these days, it's going to snap if you're going to stretch it too far. Don't let that happen. Right? So there will be all kinds, there are deadlines, there are financial difficulties, family challenges, you name it. And they can really, really get to you. Don't let that happen. Okay? And you don't have to get a cat to do that. But, you know, I mean, this is something that is very, very important. I missed my cat when I was away in Perth. Then it came back, you know, that night when it came back, it was quite late at night. And he just spent next 2 hours with me, this little boy. You know, and he was up with me at 12 something, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. He was still there, sitting in my room. And he was giving me nose kiss after nose kiss to make up for all the nose kisses that he missed during the week. Now, but that you have to be back here to do that. That's not, may not be good enough. Seriously, I don't know whether you have tried this. Think of something wonderful. And right now, over here is an example. The sons of Korah thought of Zion as a city of God. And so this is what he does. As the city of the great king, a city of the Lord of hosts, the city of our God, is God's holy mountain, beautiful in elevation. Now, I don't know whether you have things like that. Most of us, when we think of our city, what do we think about? CTE, SLE, this is not very helpful at all. No, most of us don't have, some people have special places they go to, you know, wow, this city, and they can actually transport themselves into whatever, and they are just happy. Some people, it's their home. Some people, I don't know what we all have, but it will be a wonderful thing to be able to dwell on and say, you know, this is my focus. No matter what, this is going to be my focus. And that is sort of really, really helpful. Right? Now, there are, remember the sons of Korah, their work literally begins when the sun rises. Depending upon the causes, they will be there until the sun sets. Every day in the temple, ministry to people, singing for the Lord, composing songs, relating to people, counseling with people, guiding people, helping people, all the time. Now, you can do a lot of that, which is wonderful, but wait a minute. Where are you going to find your moments of release, as it were? So that you don't get so overwhelmed, so bogged down with work that we can't see anything. And this is, to me, a wonderful thing. And you'll find that this keeps on coming up. Psalm 46, Psalm 47, Psalm 48. It keeps on coming up again. And once you see something repeated like this, 46, 47, 48, then you realize it's more than just a city. I mean, I don't know how you feel, but about our country. But no matter where I go, my heart is right here. I'm called a dyed-in-the-wool kind of a thing, Singaporean. I am not just a Singapore citizen. I love this country. This is the only country I know anyway. So no matter how small, no matter how challenging, no matter all the restrictions, whatever it is, it's still a country that I am a original patriot kind of a thing here. You know, so you think about it. What is it that brings special whatever it is? Right? Now, it's this one, a start. But if we were to apply this spiritually, Singapore may not be able to give you a spiritual uplift. Right? Now, you think about these things here. So there are two parts of it. One, the Lord himself. Two, the city of Zion. Four, the sons of Korah. Right? Not that they don't know the whole country, but to them, this was their city. This was their area of ministry. And well, what is it to me? Actually, my focus, if I am stressed or if I am anxiety or whatever, actually, my focus is not the city, because I find it very hard to imagine this is Israel, this is all the mountains, you know. Right now, Israel is in a mess. Let's face it, it is in such a mess. So few people coming in, they are offering special discounts to go to tour Israel this year. And the reason is because it's really in a mess. They have a change of prime minister in the last couple of years. And they've got three prime ministers in the last 3 years. And it's been challenging. So it's not my city. Whenever I feel that I need to be refreshed and all that, to me, it's always the scriptures. This is why you see me writing, whether it's Galatians or whether it is Jeremiah. And sort of when I come to the end of the book, I sort of feel very sad that I have to close the book, that I will find a new book to write on. And what is it that I look for? I read it until I am literally refreshed. Now, I cannot explain how that works, but that's how it works for me. For the sons of Korah, it would be just to dwell on the city. And the dwelling on the city, they think of the mountains. In their mind, they can see the mountains, elevation. They think of the city. They think of the great king. They think of the great Lord, and so on and so forth. And it does it for them. And it suddenly, they feel themselves refreshed and they feel themselves revived. I don't know what you do with yours. For some people, it's just games. And then their mind goes numb. Then they feel, I'm more relaxed. Sorry, I'm not into that either. Pac-Man was my old game. And I last about 2 minutes. And that's it. Some people can stand it for a whole hour. I don't know how they do it. And I'm always killed. I can do it, and I know that anyway, I can't. I am really not good. Hand eye, not so good. This is my limitation. But one of the greatest joys I find when I feel myself refreshed, I feel myself revived, I feel myself strengthened, uplifted, no matter what the work pressure may be, to me, it's always been simply the scriptures. Right? Now, this is important. I read one statement. See, and this person was a 1929 Nobel Prize winner for literature. And this was what his statement was about writing. Writing to the writer is the hardest thing to do. That is what he considers real writing. Wow. That was quite a challenging thought. If you write too easily, not a challenge. It's only when you really struggle. Now, how do I say it? How do I understand it? How do I teach it? How do I apply it? And you know it is very difficult. And then you start to write. That is called writing. Wow. That's, you're really going to scratch your head a little bit and ask yourself what it is. And so I am challenged to look at it again. How do I understand writing? Since I spent a lot more time writing more and more these last few years. Think about this. Actually, I began writing in 1990. The first book came out in 1990, and then now it's been this 2022. It's been quite a number of years to think about this, over 30 years of writing. And, you know, do I still find the joy, the thrill and everything else? Yes. See, that's what we all need. So, I mean, you look at your stressful days, you know, when you are young and you're working, that stress at work. That's finance, that's children growing up, thinking, worrying about the future, pandemic, and whatever else that may be. How do you de-stress? And people say, oh, drink coffee, drink tea, chamomile tea, whatever it is that you drink. But yesterday, for the moment, your soul is still dry, still not great. Find something. The Lord Himself, in the case of Sons of Korah, the city of Zion, for me, the scriptures. And to me, the most wonderful thing I could ever hope to do each day, every day. And I mean, mine is stress I need to do every day, seriously. So this coming week, since the Indians are coming, I've got to devote time, extra work, to teach a seminar on what church leadership is all about. How do we go about doing this? And this is going to be planned for the next number of months throughout the whole of the 50th year of ministry. So we're going to see, since we cannot travel so easily that side now to India, why don't we just bring them here? You know, you cannot go to the mountain comes to us kind of a thing here. Okay, so listen, we're going to bring them here a little bit more and we'll see how this will work out, right? Now, will this be helpful if there are problems like enemies? Look at it. Right? Enemy kings assemble. They came in ships. They go away in fear. I mean, look at the problems, the difficulty. See, this won't apply to us directly. We don't have those enemies. But how do we apply these lessons? And I think that this is something that I would like very, very much to challenge us all to think about. Look at the lessons, number one. To me, one of the things that I look for is, am I really established? Keyword, whether it's establishing the church, establishing Zion, the word is established. I didn't have to use the word established. Our foundation stone says established. I never used the word from 1973 to 2003, I never used the word established. I dare not use the word. Right? But you know what? God is in the work of establishing. So I ask myself, okay, am I established? Right? Now, am I established in my faith? Has God established my faith? Has God established me? Has God established? That's the key thing. So I look for. If I'm not going to be established, listen, I will not use the word until I can say, yes, established. And most of us will find it very hard to use the word established. Are you established in your faith? Watch. Is God all that real in your life? You see? So God is just there. You're just like a clothes hanger that's there. God is not a clothes hanger for me. It's got to be something that God's going to do. Establish, number one. Number two, can I really see the loving kindness of God? Seriously, in all that I do. And the answer must be yes. So I'm just really, really glad for that we were able to go to Bethel last week, and then we ended the weekend. And it was just a joy to see them for the first time celebrating the anniversary. They have not had one for the last 3 years. Now, they couldn't go to a big place, you know, and they were just gathered in church together. And it was just to see the loving kindness of God. So over in Bethel, in Perth, so let's say you run a church kitchen. You run a church kitchen, you need to have a license. As long as you do with food, you need a license from the council. And so the council person came over and approved of it. Yes, you can run it. And so they said, and they shared this with the pastor there, and they said, before the pandemic, closure of businesses, about 10 a year, right? Business, home business, 10 a year. Now, in the pandemic, 10 a week. That's how many businesses have fallen, 10 a week. So let's look at 52 weeks. We're looking at 520 businesses closing down in the last thing here. So you can understand how it's affected the brethren, the morale, the giving, and everything else. And it is always wonderful to see God's loving kindness felt. And again, sometimes it's not that it's not there. It's just that we don't know how to feel it. And so, when they have every week they offering is very, very little. Suddenly to have a shot in the arm for offering like that, that sort of really lifts up the heart. I mean, this is something that we look at. We see this in India quite a bit. I mean, the average offering that they can collect per Sunday, maybe $50, right? I mean, seriously. Or maybe $100, and that's about all they can collect. How are they going to sustain their ministry? Cannot. So whenever funds are received, it's always, you know, suddenly you realize, wow, this is the loving kindness of God. And I hope you understand. So this loving kindness of God is not a feeling. It's something you can see, something that you know, something that you can say, wow, this is truly the loving kindness of God. And then there is an uplifting of the faith and of the heart and of the mind and of the spirit. Right? I hope you understand. So it's not necessarily just a matter of, receiving a huge bonus. It's not that at all. It's just as every little bit helps you to be reminded of God's loving kindness. I think that is very, very special. And we all need to be loved, right? Now, this is important. I didn't realize how much my cat missed me. I thought I missed him. But he came back, he sat around my desk. He came to me with his nose. Then after a few minutes later, he came to me with another kiss. Wow, that was the most wonderful moments of it all, right? And it's what we call loving kindness, right? And you just think, Now, many people tell me their cats don't do that. Sorry to you, but it is so real and precious. That they, you see, this is what we mean by a loving kindness. And my cat knows that I love him, and he knows that. And it's not just about food, right? It's just being there, just being the sense of closeness, the sense of affinity, the sense of affection that is there, and it's just so absolutely wonderful. Right? Think about these things here. And then, of course, in God's judgments. Now, this part is a bit difficult. Sometimes when unpleasant things come, difficult things come, how do we cope with all of these things here? And the answer is, we just have to trust in God's judgments, whatever they may be, and then learn how to rejoice. Right? So when we look at our understanding of God, and every week we say, okay, either it could be something new, it could be something reinforced. It could be something that rejuvenates and revives. It could be something that uplifts the heart. Whatever it is, you look at it. And together, you'll find that God's protection, God's provision is there throughout. And when we can do that, you know, we are that much more certain about our faith and our life. We are so much more uplifted and say, this is what we want to do. I mean, let's face it. Right? So there are going to be challenges ahead of time. This coming, well, one of our church older members, first he had a pneumonia problem. So when he had a pneumonia problem, the doctors began to check. And then when they found out, actually, he's got more than a pneumonia problem. He's also got colon cancer. And most of these things are sometimes discovered a little bit on the late side. And then here goes it again here. How much do they want to do? How much can they do when you are already at an advanced age? And most of the time, no. I mean, supposing if I am going to be in stage 4 cancer, and how seriously do I want to take all these things here? Me? Not really. Am I afraid to die? No. Do I want to just survive just to another 1 or 2 weeks and for 1 or 2 months of extra life? No. Why? I'm not afraid of death, seriously. And I am gearing myself towards that time, right? So somewhere in my 50-something years, I started preparing already, right? Seriously, I began to start preparing. Not that CPF money was collected. It's not a very much to begin with, and it's not something that you want to say, okay, it's going to last me for a lifetime. It won't. It didn't. Right? Now, what else do we live for, seriously? And you look at life and say, okay, you know, I want to prepare for how I'm going to die. God will guide me to death. So I already know what I want to. I made a list of things that I want to do. What will happen? Right? Now, all gifts will go to church, obviously, to the Lord's work. That's the first thing. Right? To get people to think about the Lord, God. This verse, to me, is one of those very, very precious verses. God will guide me even to death. So I will depend upon the Lord to lead me, my guiding light, to the very end. And the process has already begun. I don't have to wait until I am no breath, no strength, no life, and then start preparing. Frankly, it's a little bit late already. When is the best time to prepare for death? When you are healthy, alive, and well. This is how I prepare. And I am just going to look forward to, as it were, death. Right? Because death is going to be the final enemy I fight. I don't welcome death. Okay, death, take me. No way. I will be fighting death as an enemy right to the very end. But I will fight with faith, with trust, with understanding, with all the wisdom and strength that I have, so that I am not going to die as I see so many people, afraid, uncertain, fearful, don't know, worrying about this, crying about that. I'm not going to go out that way. I think that's important. So as we take a look at it, we all understand. Will I want to be where I want to be? I cannot tell whether I will end up in a hospice or not. To me, does it matter? No. Really, like Steve Jobs said towards the end of his life, if I knew that my last days would be right here, I wouldn't have wasted all my time doing all the things I did. That's how absolutely true. But those are the words of a dying man. What we don't want, we'll still do all those crazy things we are doing. We're still caught up with this and that and the other. And we have not prepared for death. Right? So where do I start now? Is God my refuge? Is God my strength? Is God my king? Do I praise him? Is he my guide? Do I trust his righteousness? Yes or no? And if the answer is yes, then you'll find that whatever problems in life, even death, guess what? They're not going to bother too much. Right? But we still have to go through the emotional part. But at the end of it all, if we have something to lock ourselves into, what is it? Think about this. Some people lock themselves into whatever it is. After a while, you begin to realize they don't last very long. They're not very effective. The diminishing returns. But when you lock your heart and your mind into your faith in God, whatever it is that brings that faith alive, for me, very frankly, it's the scriptures. The scriptures are the main means for me to keep alive, strong, well throughout. And it has been always. Perhaps even now, from the 50s on, for the last 15 years, even more so. Well, and I want to encourage you to find where you can. Find a focus. Find something you can lock into. Find something and say, this is what I can lock into. No matter what, it's going to be there. And literally, this is called the Sanctum Sanctorum. This is from your Holy of Holies. And nobody is going to be there. And nobody is going to be there, no matter what. Right? This is important. So that's something that we want to look at. So one day there was this man, his was golf. So one day he hit a hole in one. And his wife took the time and he said, I crashed a car today. And he said, whatever you say to me, nothing is going to take away the joy that I feel hole in one. Well, that was his, but tomorrow? After the euphoria dies, some people, 100% say, I'm not a golfer, but you know what? I have a hole in one. So what do you mean? Socks, hole in one. Look, you may have humor as your basis, but the best thing to do, literally, and I want to encourage you, find that joy in the Lord. Find that hope in the Lord. Find your focus. Lock it in. I think that is the best thing to do. And there, you just trust the Lord. I think that's the best thing to do. And I want to encourage you, find in the Lord. For the sons of Korah, the city of Zion. For us, to me, my focus is just simply the scriptures. I don't really need anything else. All I need is just to have the scriptures and I can write about it. That's all that makes me really, really happy. And of course, the bonus is my little cat. And that was a really special source of joy to me. And I thank God for him every day for bringing that special source of encouragement and joy to the heart. Find something, okay? Well, let's pray together.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the joy that we can have.
A joy that is there, that is real. A faith that is established, a hope that is confirmed. In all of these things here, help us to really, really rejoice in all that you have blessed us with. And we pray that you would bless again and again as we seek to walk with you. Help us to draw closer to you with each passing day, so that all the things of this world will slowly dim in significance until we find our center in you. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.